And we're coming to you live from the Cree House here in Newcastle, and we're looking and focusing today on Bushey Park and Newcastle. But today's weather is some hazy sunshine spells at times today, although generally cooler and cloudier today with showery outbreaks of rain spreading from the west. Temperatures though 18 to 22 degrees, and tonight scattered thundery showers will continue overnight, mixed with clear spells and some mist and fog patches also. It's going to be mild with temperatures not falling below 14 to 16 degrees. And pollen, by the way, forecast for today is moderate today. I'm joined by two new guests here in Cree, in the beautiful surroundings of Cree, I have to say here. And I'm joined by Tom O'Donnell and by Ken O'Sullivan. I'm going to go to Tom first off today. Tom, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, Keith.
Good to see you. You've been embedded in the community of Bushey Park and Woodstock for all your life.
Well, yeah, all my life, yeah. We grew up in Woodstock, and Woodstock was a relatively new village. I think 1897, the Congested Boers bought that land, and there was five houses there, and Sullivan's were Walter, and our own O'Donnell's, Welch's and Newell's. And it was a lovely village to grow up in.
And we, so there was only the five houses there.
That's all. And it stayed that way up until the 60s, yeah.
Yeah.
I think my own house and my sister's house and Sean Madden's were the first three houses to be
built.
And that was in the late 1970 we moved into our house.
So yourself and the Wallaces and the Maddens.
Yeah.
There were the three.
Yeah.
And then Sean Silke across the road. And
that's
then
right.
And Mickey
McLaughlin's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was there a house there in McLaughlin where the McLaughlins are now?
Yeah, that was Welch's. Yeah.
That was Welch's?
Yeah. Lovely people. They had a glass house when there was no glass house around the area. Yeah. And they were very generous. They'd bring back a bowl of tomatoes to the Mearden Wall and hand them back, bring them into your mammy there. You know, they were nice people.
So bar the Welch's then, the rest of you are there. You're there, your brother is there.
Yeah,
the Wards are still there, yeah. Sullivan's.
Yeah. The Wards was Gills that originally came there. The Gills came down from Pownacloch, and everybody except the Welches, all the other houses, the people came from my Cullen parish.
Yeah.
And most of them from Pownacloch. The Gills, well, the Wards are descendants of the Gills. They were, Mrs. Ward was a niece
Gill,
of the old Mrs. Gill. So you had the Sullivans came from up Pownacloch. My grandfather came from up Pownacloch. The Welches came from Rahun. They were the only people, and none of them were married, so there's no descendants.
No descendants of them.
And the Noons came from my Cullen area as well. The old Mrs. Noon, yeah.
And they're still there, so they're...
No, they're still there, lovely people too.
And it was, I mean, I know the area intimately, but I mean, it was very simple times then, so it was.
Oh, they were, yeah. The big outing at the week, well, we went to Mass in Bushey Park, and there was the only thing in Bushey Park was the school and the church and Caelahan's, of course.
And that was it,
and,
yeah.
And we, as teenagers, we went more towards my Cullen, because we went to school in Tourinne, which was my Cullen parish, you see. So we had a lot of...
Well, did you go from Woodstock to Tourinne? Of course, it was the closest for you.
We did. We went across the lane where, by
Kynes
there, with a shortcut, yeah.
It was still a decent walk every morning, if it was a wet morning.
Well, it was, yeah. But, our teacher would bring us home if it was raining in the evening. He was passing. He was very good that way.
Wow.
He'd give us a seat, and it was the only car around the area. We weren't being left to school in motor cars that time, yeah.
Was there even a motor car in the village? It was pony and cart a lot of the time.
Yeah, there wasn't. There wasn't any cars there, no. Yeah.
But you'd remember my grand-aunt, Mamie, and she went everywhere in the pony and tram.
She was a lovely lady. That's the first house I ever learned how to play 25 in, and I got a rude awakening. They'd have a nine going early on a Sunday evening, and your Uncle Joe would be there, and Andy Holland, and the Lord mercy on both of them now. But they'd be going to Salt Hill at about 8 o'clock or so. Mm. And if they were short, I'd be let sit in. I'd be up with my father and the uncle. And say, wouldn't I get a telling off? Why didn't you go there?
why did you hit me with that? Yeah. Apparently, my mother and uncle, they were car sharks. They were 25 car sharks.
Oh, they were, yeah. Oh,
and, right. And they used to go to the bridge centre in the latter years or the later years of life. And Manny's tonight, my father would have to go into the bridge centre and bring my mother home because she wouldn't go home in the car with Joe.
Yeah.
Because he'd have hit her in a game of cards. You know, it's simple.
The cares were, and to get a good nine around was, you travel to know if there was a good nine on somewhere.
Yeah.
And they were used for fundraising then later, and then the progressive games came in where you had only six at the table. There was every kind of a care player coming to them, people that never played cares before. Yeah.
And do you still play cares?
No, I haven't played for a few years now. No.
We'll have to get a game going on a Sunday evening. So to relive. An awful lot of young people don't even know how to play 25.
Well, they wouldn't know. No, unless you can do it on the phone. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and or on the screen or on the phone or otherwise. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And that's where it makes a difference. Yeah.
Big change.
What's your furthest memories? Can I ask you as a child?
I remember turning home from school about the third day, and I was going back with my sister Mary, and Tim Kine's father was coming with two horses and a mowing machine, and he was going down. They had land down at Orton's Well there.
They had. Still have.
Probably going over to cut hay there with the horse. And I followed him over, and he was turning back, and he said, "Go back and go to school." I kept going, and innocently enough, went up home, where there was no great welcome for me. I think that's about the farthest memory.
So Timothy Senior distracted you with the horses and the moor and the back of the.
Yeah.
They were tough times, so they were.
Yes, they were. Yeah, yeah.
You're going back a long way now.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
You'll be going back 70-odd years there.
I'm going back a lot more than that now.
I'm being nice, so I am, Tom, this morning.
Yeah.
But it's really and truly, it's an amazing story.
Yeah.
Like when you mentioned Timothy, I can see him.
Yeah.
And Mary, and they're all gone. And
they were great farmers.
Powerful farmers.
They were very good, yeah. They had everything,
yeah. Stay with me if you don't mind. I want to go to Ken O'Sullivan, who joins me. I've known Ken for all of my life. At this stage, Ken, morning to you. How are you?
Hi, Keith. Good to be here.
Good to be here. I know you as a lecturer in the RTC, GMIT, ATU. I know you as a poet. I know you as a resident of Newcastle as well. And you've enjoyed a great life as well in the area.
Yes. I've actually had an amazing life. A group of my friends got together recently and said, "Look, can we know your story? Could you give us a summary in about 10 minutes of your whole life?" And I finished the story by saying, in conclusion, my life has been astonishingly beautiful and also extremely painful. What I call the bewildering blend of miracle and misery. So basically, I'm a very blessed man. You are,
and you've got a great family, and you have a new grandchild. And but you've put a lot of work into it. You put a lot of work into your work when you worked in the RTC, GMIT, ATU.
Yeah.
And you put a lot of work into your poetry as well.
Yes. It's the writing for me is, funnily enough, it's very little poetry and mostly prose.
Yeah.
It started, I was travelling with my work from GMIT, or ATU as it now is, in Austria in late 1989, and there was a problem that was bothering us all back at work. And I was in a small Austrian village hotel, and I said, you know, I'm going to try and commit the elements of that to paper. And I'd intended to put down bullet points of this particular problem. And the little voice in my head said, no, write a poem. Out of the blue. Mm. And I wrote the poem, and that kick-started it all. And now we're like 80 books later, you know.
80
books later, yeah.
And have you self-published a lot?
I self-published 10 of them, yeah. There's eight self-published, and there's two more on the way. And the rest I produced in small quantities for family and friends. But in 2019, I celebrated 30 years of writing, and we produced a couple of books. I said to my wife during the year, I said, you know, the writing has kept me sane. Well, half sane. So she smiled. And I said, you know, to be half sane in an insane world is a pretty solid accomplishment. You know, so,
yeah.
But you know, but it, a lot of it has been done in Newcastle. Newcastle has been, in many ways, has been my muse. You know, I have a little study in Dangan Heights where I live, and most of it has been done there, and it's been just an amazing journey. Just a beautiful place to live, you know, lovely neighbours, you know.
And you enjoy life, and you love Connemara.
I love Connemara. I've written two of the books are about Connemara. They're called Maumaine, A Sacred Place, and then there's a special edition of it as well. I mean, I just adore it. And Maumaine out in Connemara, in the Maum Turks, many people might know it. That's my favourite place on earth. Mm. Yeah, I really love it.
And you and I spoke just for a few minutes during the news there. I mean, Connemara, we're so blessed to have it on our doorstep.
Yeah, we are absolutely blessed.
And you met an American recently too that mentioned that to you.
Yes, he said to me, yeah, you don't appreciate what you got here. I said, with great respect, you're wrong. I do.
Yeah.
You know, and I really do.
Just out the road.
Just out the road.
Yeah.
In half an hour, you can be in the wilderness. In an hour, you can be in the centre of the mountains, you know.
And will you continue writing?
I will. I can't get it down fast enough, Keith. You know, I was talking to my GP on my last checkup. He knows me well. And I said, he's about 20 years younger than me, maybe more. And I said, I've been looking at my bucket list, writing bucket list. Have you? He said. I said, yes, you're going to have to keep me going till I'm around 150. Do you think you could manage that? So he smiled and said, I hope for my sake that I can.
But again, I mean, when you're younger, you went for checkups and otherwise, and all you wanted to do is be there for your children.
Yes, I have an amazing story to tell. It was amazing for me. We have four children under six. The eldest wasn't six when the youngest was born. And when I was quite young, I got disturbing symptoms and went into hospital for checks. And it looked kind of sinister. Now, the eldest was about 12. And I just said to whatever's out there, I said, please leave me here until my children are taken care of. And my eldest son is going to be 50 in a couple of months' time. I mean, what more could you ask for?
Were you a child father then? You must have been very young if your son is 50. I said you must have been a very young...
Sure, I'm not much more than 50 myself, Keith. I don't know. Biologically, it's impossible. But apparently, he is going to be 50, you know.
Yeah. I want to go back to you, Tom. We're just getting some texts in here. Keith, can you say hello to Tina Nestor in Bushy Park? We had great times going to bingo in Seapoint, an old-time dancing in the Warwick. And that comes from her friend Mary Haverty. And Tina's another stalwart at the Bushy Park, isn't she?
Oh, she was, yeah. A great woman on the Residents Association. The first Residents Association was for them there in 87. And that was the time Father Cure came a bit later. And the
Father Hahn, was it?
Father Hahn, yeah. A great character. And the graveyard was almost closed down that time. But that was, he encouraged us to go for a social employment scheme. So I was involved with three or four of them. But there was always, when there was a job done, Father Hahn always, you have to celebrate the job and go for a day out. And a day out was a day and a half a night.
he was a unique man, but a wonderful man, Father Hahn. He was very talented, very gifted.
And with the result that the graveyard got a special award. Yeah. Noel Tracy was minister at the time, and Noel Ryan was our secretary that year. We went to Tour Ballylee to collect a plaque for the work that was done on the graveyard.
Yeah.
Yes, it was a
great times.
Great time over the year. A great committee, and you know, you get great suggestions at meetings and
Tina would be Councillor Frank Fahey's mother-in-law.
That's right, yeah.
So Geraldine indeed would be Tina's daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's still, I mean, between Mary Nestor, there's still a lot of, and Mrs. Cosgrove is still very much alive, so she's living with her daughter, Rosaline. There's still a lot of the old stock left.
Oh, there is, yeah. And the good thing is the new young committee that's there now are kind of mostly descendants of what was there before, and it's been passed on down. And another great man that's looking after the graveyard at the moment there is John McCadden. Does a lot of voluntary work there.
Another gentleman.
A lot of work. And he's there, as I was coming in, he was there mixing concrete today. Yeah.
Good on him. Ken, coming back to you then, the legacy you've left behind definitely is the work you've done and the poetry and the prose and all of that.
Yeah.
And did any of the family go into writing?
No. Funny enough, my granddaughter seems interested in it, you know, so whether she'll take it up in due course. But, you know, the legacy is the writing. But funny enough, one of my biggest legacies is something I did in ATU, RTC. I was asked to teach a course on communications, a very bland course on communications. And you had great creative freedom there as long as the content of the syllabus was approved by an external examiner.
Yeah.
And over the years, I developed it into a course on personal development. And I called it Getting the Balance Right. And I used to get the students, which was unusual in those days, to give me anonymous evaluations. And I used to be in tears when I see what they got out of it. So that was the jewel in the crown of my working life. And I think that's one of the biggest legacies I've left, you know. But I think one of the biggest legacies I've left in total to both my family and all I know is actually love. I know that sounds a bit kind of soppy, but I mean, I'm talking about love in the real sort of care that we have for one another, you know. And
no, you were always romantic.
Yeah, it's not romantic love I'm talking about, really. I'm talking about this deep commitment to other people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not perfect. I have lots of faults and failings, too many for my
we
own
all
liking.
Do.
Yeah, but it's just, and I think it's my own trouble and tribulation that have kind of made me more compassionate for other people.
Mm.
You know, but it's not a perfect process. But so that's probably, I mean, there are a number of legacies. I mean, you know, the top of my list is gratitude. I'm so grateful for what I've been able to do, you know, and it hasn't been easy. Mm. Scott Peck, a guy called Scott Peck, wrote a book years ago called The Road Less Traveled. It's a popular psychology book, not for psychologists. And the first three words in the preface are, life is difficult. And somebody gave me the book and I opened it and I said, who's he telling? But it's been great.
It's lovely to have you. Keep in contact and let us know when the next book comes out. Tom, a real pleasure to see you again. I haven't seen you in a while. I see you on the road and that. But it's great to see you. And thanks for the memories. And what we will, I promise you, in the next couple of months, we'll have a game of 25 in our house. And we're in the old house, actually. And we'll relive those days when you came up. So we'll do that sooner rather than later.
Thanks very much, Keith, and it's a pleasure to be on the programme this morning.
It's great to have you. Give me a great lift. The two of you give me a great lift because you bring back such positive, fond memories of childhood, I have to say. Let's take a short commercial break. Dave O'Connell joins us next, and we have many more to come on the programme. So Dave O'Connell joins us, and Lucia joins us. She's living here in the area, and also Mark O'Donnell joins us from Cree. That and a lot more to come. And don't forget, just after 11 o'clock too, we'll be going to the sporting world of Newcastle, Bushy Park and that general area. Stay tuned for that and more to come.
Galway Tones, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.
A very good morning to you. Welcome in. We're coming to you live with Community Matters from Cree headquarters here in Newcastle, and Dave O'Connell sits opposite me today. It's such an honour to see you, Mr. O'Connell, how are you today?
I'm great. I love how you can do that with a straight face, to be honest with you. That's good.
You don't see it most of the time, you say. Listen, I wanted to do the headlines first, but you're also indeed a resident of Newcastle. But it's a big day today for a man just out the road, Councillor Eddie Hoare.
Yeah, and a man very familiar from these airwaves as well through his work on the station as a sports analyst. But today he takes the chain of office as Galway's newest mayor, and at 34, one of the youngest to ever hold this high office, as I think most people know, a former Galway footballer as well, a long career bookended by Connacht titles in 2008-2016, and still a stalwart for St. Michael's, although again I'm not sure how much he'll contribute over the next year, although he might be the only fella turning up in a chauffeur driven car for matches training, over the next 12 months, you know. So a big day for him and his family.
Another local man making the papers, the wonderful young Gary Martin as well.
Absolutely phenomenal. He's about to run the equivalent of 6 marathons. That's 150 miles, 240 kilometres. And he's going to do it straight over 36 hours to raise money for Ability West. A lot of people know Gary plays with Corrib Rangers.
Yeah.
And he had a previous shorter version, and I say that with tongue in cheek. He ran just 100 miles and raised 10,000 for the Irish Cancer Society. That was last November. This time he's starting at midnight on Saturday week. He will keep running with 5-minute breaks every 10 kilometres. And this is appropriate because we're in Cree. That's to keep his heart regulated and also to ice his feet. I would have difficulty driving for that long.
Ice his feet.
Yeah. So those little breaks, it's 600 laps of the West Side track, around and around and around and around. And so 150 miles, he will certainly know that track intimately by the time he's finished. Because if you add the two together, that's 600 and about 450 the last time. So over 1,000 laps to raise money for charity. It is a phenomenal thing. And he's hoping a good crowd will turn out at some stage during it. He might get unwelcome fellas in the middle of the night turning up. But anyway.
He might. Fellas coming in from Regan's and all that type of stuff. Come here to me though. I mean, he has some stamina. He really he does have. Now, your front page story suggests the days of the big compo payouts look to be over.
Yeah. I mean, these are the insurance claims for the trips and the falls on footpaths. They're still significant because they've cost Galway City Council more than €2.5 million over the last 4 years. That was 124 claims for footpath injuries between 2019 and 2022. But even the number of claimants has fallen in successive years. So from 42 to 32 to 27 to 23. And that might be because the average payout per claim is around 20,000. It used to be an awful lot more than that. The other area for payouts is to do with potholes. And again, they're falling, not into the potholes, but the number of claims are falling over the same period. 14 cases in 2019, 1 in 2010, 10 in 2021, and they must have fixed them all because there was none at all last year.
Now, the Galway footballers are on the back page in sport as well today.
Yeah, heading off to Carrick and Shannon to face Armagh in their All-Ireland group game. Victory would confirm their safe passage into the business end of the season. And as I said yesterday, plenty too on the hurlers in the wake, and that's an appropriate word because it was a wake of the heartbreaking loss to Kilkenny. And I have to say, if GAA isn't your thing, there's darts, rowing, horse racing, golf, athletics, and of course Galway United, because even with the mid-season break, John Caulfield is reflecting on a season that really couldn't have gone any better, although typical John, he's warning not to run away with ourselves on this, but absolutely, it has been a fantastic season so far.
Now, what else have you got for us in today's City Tribune, Dave?
Loads in there, Keith. Plenty of picks from a celebration to mark the 40th anniversary of the Sacred Heart Church just up the road from here, Seamus Kirk Road. And I have to say, it was great to see Monsignor Malachy Hallinan enjoying the... He was among the guests there. Loads of photographs too, the young footballers at the Merlin Woods Awards night. It's only June, but we're covering the Christmas market, would you believe? I know, yeah, because it will be back and it'll be bigger than ever, but it won't be opened until closer to Christmas, so that's okay. More immediately, there's plenty on the Galway Folk Festival currently underway, and a lovely piece with the phenomenal Trish Ford, the best choice you could ever have made for the country's new Laureate Ninogue, a woman who will inspire a generation to read and write books just by... She's all about letting kids' imagination flow, and no better guide on that path. So a lovely piece with Trish as well today.
Great. Stay with us, Dave, if you don't mind. Now, listeners are phoning in to say how much they are enjoying the show and the old stories. They're wonderful. Nora Cassidy loved hearing from our friend Billy Cameron today on the programme, and loved it from there. You live in Newcastle.
I live in Newcastle, but I mean, I feel I am... When I hear Tommy and Billy and everybody that's been talking this morning... The only thing I can think of is I am to community affairs what Boris Johnson is to COVID rules. I'm a complete blow-in. Although, I have to say, it was coming back to where I was born, because I was born here.
Were you?
Yeah, in the hospital, yeah. Oh,
I was going to say, so you straddled up the road.
No, although, funnily enough, my mother was from Chantelle originally, so she was, yeah. So I have some claims to fame, and I had an uncle living in Chantelle, I have cousins in Chantelle. But Newcastle was just, it was a lovely, we came back to Galway 15 years ago, and it has been the perfect choice, because you're in the middle of the city, but you're not in the middle of the city. I mean, we're in Newcastle Park, so we're not even on the main thoroughfare. And I mean, somebody once said, you know, the ideal house, you should have a hospital on your doorstep. I don't think they meant literally, but we have. At the back, we have the hospital. At the front, we have the university. When our lads were going to the university, even on a wet day, they didn't get wet. You know, they wanted to move out and live in rented accommodation. I said, if you can find a house that's closer
to the university.
Now, Billy Cameron wouldn't take them in. That was the only house that was closer than we were. So so it is an absolutely wonderful place to be. And you're 20 minutes from the middle of town. Yeah. We have a lovely little community. It's got nothing to do with me there. But we did, we have a street party in our little cul-de-sac where everybody brings their tables out and we get caterers in, and you look after your own
spot.
Bottles of Fanta or whatever it is that you want for your day out
from
there.
Regan's from Regan's.
I'll never get over that. But anyway, yeah. So it is a lovely place to be, and yet you're 20 minutes from the middle of town, and yet you look out, all you see is the trees that are all around you in the middle of the city. It's great. Yeah.
It really is lovely. Shantha, what was your mother's maiden name?
Hunt. Hunt. She was Mary Hunt, yeah.
Wow.
But I also, when I started working in the Tribune the first time, because I'm from Uchtarard, as you know, and the city lads would say, Ashironi Okolchi, you see. But then they found out that I had an uncle in Shantella, Bernie O'Connell. So, when Bernie used to call in, he used to work with McNally's for years, and when he used to call into the Tribune and say, are you related to Bernie? So suddenly my street cred went way up, because they say, oh, a bit of Chantal in you, you're all right, you know. So so it is just lovely. I mean, it's coincidence that that's where we ended up, but I'm very glad we did.
Well done to you. And can I tell the story, because Tom O'Donnell was here. Tom O'Donnell was here, and I know I love Tom to bits and pieces, and I love all his family, but he was here, and so you were sitting over here, and he said, wait till I tell you. He said, that Dave O'Connell is coming on. I had a great night with him last night. And I said to him, where were you? He said, Regan's. And all of a sudden you appear then. But you have cousins over.
We have cousins over from the States. So on the Connell side. So we'd call them Shocknessies, but they're the Shaughnessies. Kevin and Christine and their three, Megan, Caitlin and Brendan. It's Brendan's first time in Ireland. He's 21. And I'll tell you, he's more Irish than I am at this stage, because St. James's Gate will have noticed that sales have seriously escalated over the last couple of days. It's brilliant and it's lovely. I always love to see Galway through visitors' eyes.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a whole new appreciation for this. So we had a gathering of cousins last night, a nice quiet evening.
You were home early.
I was home early, and a couple of lemonades, the black lemonades with the white head
cream
on the top
head
of them.
On them. Yeah,
those ones. They're lovely. I could get used to them.
Well, you might have a few just down the road from here. Are you going to the mayoral reception later on, perhaps?
I'm going to UG, our University of Galway, to the alumni ball later on tonight, because a great old buddy of mine, Ray Burke, is among
That's right.
Yeah, and I'm also looking forward to seeing the Horace Regan being honoured by the college that he did so much for over so many years. Now, all of the recipients are worthy recipients, but if I was picking two, it would be Ray, who was from Oranmore and a lifetime in RTE, and wrote that award-winning book with Charlie Bird last year. So Ray and Tony Regan. I shouldn't be calling him the horse, but more people know him as that. He is the horse.
Yeah,
and a mighty man.
Listen, well done to you. Thanks indeed for popping into us today, and enjoy the rest of the day and the evening. Lucia Herda joins me, and I'm going to turn on your mic. Lucia, morning to you.
Good morning.
You live in Newcastle. You live beside Ken.
Beside Ken.
And he waters your grass when you go on holidays.
He does. And he picks my fruits because he deserves it.
Come here, you're from Slovakia, but you've made Newcastle your home.
Yes, we moved to Newcastle in 2017 after we decided to just leave UK when UK decided to just
do
exit
what it did.
EU.
Yeah.
So we decided that definitely Ireland is a better place to raise kids, and what a best place to move in was Newcastle, where basically it just feels safe. It's a very safe area.
Mm.
It's kind of neighborhood watch without the, you know, official label on it. But everybody's just watching out for the neighbor, and everything is so close. It feels like it's a healthy area because it's surrounded by trees, the river. Kids love it, and there's plenty of schools around. So basically, it was the best choice we've made.
And you married a mailman?
Mayo from Ballina.
From Ballina.
From the salmon capital.
I like it.
You can't really fish it unless you have a license.
I was going to say, yeah. And so, does he have a license? Don't answer that, please.
No.
And what school did the children go? Do they go to Bushy Park School? Or
no, I have two. One is a seven-year-old, and he goes to the Educate Together.
Lovely. So just not far from here, yeah?
Just stone throw.
Yeah.
And the younger one is still in his Montessori's. He's 3.5, and he's in the Stepping Stones, which is just across from Bushy Park.
And you make bread, I'm told.
I do. I make sourdough. I kind of decided to make bread and try to create the bread that I like. When I first arrived to Ireland, I was trying different bakeries, and for me, it wasn't matching the benchmark that I've tried in London, where I lived for like 17 years. So I had tried really good bread there, and I wanted to recreate it. So while being full-time mom, I was like, okay, that's a good use of my time. So I've created my own. And
do you sell it?
Well, it's kind of like from here or there, you know, whoever, like neighbors mainly. So it's like it's slowly progressing into kind of starting up my own business.
Bakery.
So it's starting at the beginning stages. So I wouldn't say that I would want to go big, because for me the priority is still family and raising my children. But yeah, I've got a lot of great feedback about my bread, so it encourages me to grow it a little bit, you know, with the limitations.
But literally, yeah, because of sourdough, you have to grow it anyway, don't you?
Yeah, you have to grow the cultures. And you have to look after them, or they will go rancid.
Do you smell sourdough, Dave, do you?
You don't? That could be off me, is it?
It's probably in the bag over there. Brought some samples, but I don't want to be making too much noise.
Oh, yeah, no, we'll test them during the 12 o'clock news. I'm a dibble for sourdough.
You love sourdough.
What do you put on it?
My preference is just butter. When the sourdough is baked fresh, it's the best combination. It's just the bread and butter. You know, like our ancestors used to eat. They would put the butter and a little bit of salt, and that was their food for the day.
I like to toast it, butter. That's it.
That's it. You can toast it. When it's kind of stale, you can still revive it by toasting it, which
is green mold. I'll toast it.
Yep, absolutely.
Excuse me. It's a well done to you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're fitting well into the Newcastle community.
I love living there. I had no expectation of anything. I knew that Irish people, as a generalization, are really warm and welcoming people, and this has been just the next level. I was integrated almost instantly. All the neighbors like came in and just said hello as soon as we moved in the first week. I have met different nationalities. My neighbor across was from Ukraine. There are a few others. We have neighbors from Africa, from India. Lots of nationalities, which is brilliant. And they all integrated really well. It feels like a sense of strong community there.
They smell the sourdough, that's what it is.
They smell the sourdough, and when I have too much, I just dump it on them.
Oh, yeah. And don't be afraid now to dump it on the fella from Mayo here. Listen, thanks for joining us today on the programme. And Lucia, thank you so much for popping into us. Lucia Hurd there joining us from Newcastle as well. Quick commercial break, and Mark O'Donnell, Chief Operating Officer of Cree, joins us next.
Galway Talks, in association with Tesco. Click and collect allows you to collect your order whenever suits you.
Now, a very good morning to you. Welcome into today's programme. We're coming to you live from Cree, the West of Ireland Cardiology Foundation. And I'm joined by Mark O'Donnell, who's the Chief Operating Officer of Cree. Mark, good morning to you. How are you today? Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Keith. Very well, thanks.
Thanks for joining. The place looks stunning, and I can't believe all the building that's going on around here. It's like a little town here.
It is. It's a busy facility, Keith. You know, we'd see ourselves very much as part of the community here. We have a lot of people that access our services every week, so we'd have up on 300 people coming in for exercise classes every week. We run CPR training from the building here as well. We have our courtyard apartments here that provides accommodation for family members of people that are receiving treatment in UHC as well, which is a great support for people. So yeah, it's a hive of activity all the time.
And is it always like this? Because it's busy, busy, busy.
This would be a typical week. Now, we've had a lot on this week. I mean, just looking back over the last few days, on Tuesday, we launched a new Heart and Stroke Patient Alliance, a national patients group. So that was on Tuesday. On a Wednesday, our CEO, Neil Johnson, was presented with an inaugural Hall of Fame Award by the European Patients Federation in recognition of his work over the last 30 years in the area of cardiovascular disease. We have our Cree Cycle coming up this Sunday with over 650 participants, so we're getting ready for that as well.
This coming Sunday?
That's this coming Sunday, the 18th,
Wow. And that goes from here?
It starts in the University Sports Centre in Dangan. The long route then would go out to Mycullen, head out towards Spittle, out the coast road to Rossaville, up around by Mam Cross, back in through Derard, Mike Cullen. Everything finishes back here at Cree House then.
Isn't it some itinerary?
Yeah, I'd be tired driving it myself and by cycle. And how many, have you 600 people?
We've 650 in at the moment. We've actually shut down registrations this morning. We've put a cap on it. Obviously, safety is our first priority for people, and that we can look after everyone on the day and have the logistics in place. So we've capped it at that.
And is it all hands on deck now?
It is, yeah. It's been like this. It's a huge event, and it's important to say as well, I mean, we wouldn't be able to run an event like this without the support of our volunteers. We've a core staff of about 20 here in Cree, but we've many, many more volunteers from the community who come in and help out with events like this. So we'll have, you know, lots of marshals and stewards volunteering their time on Sunday. Stephen Hostie, who's one of our leading volunteers, you would have met him this morning, is out putting up road signs today. So it's a real kind of effort between the team and the community to put on an event like this.
It's huge, it really is huge. And again, for what you do to have only 20 staff?
Yeah, it's quite a significant output, all right, in terms of the impact. I think there's some interesting things that have happened since COVID. We've retained some of the online programs that we would have had. So, for example, yesterday we had a webinar online on atrial fibrillation that had over 500 participants from across the country. So, kind of, we've taken, I suppose, the learnings from COVID as well, how we amplify that message and we use our team to best effect.
Wow, it's an amazing. Will you stay with me? I want to go to Francis Fox, who's Francis is a service user. Morning to you, Francis. How are you?
Good morning.
Thanks indeed for joining us today. Now, you use Cree here.
Yes, I come to classes like that. Sometimes there's a group, which is a whole program, say 12 sessions. It's geared to taking the person as you are, assessing your ability or lack of ability health-wise, and then plugging you into a program that enables you to gradually get back to walking and exercising with no danger whatever of having your heart rate go too high or
So would you
well-being being compromised?
So would they have given you a would the team here in Cree have given you a quality of life that you wouldn't have had if you didn't come here?
Absolutely, because I had problems with atrial fibrillation as it happened post-op, and as the weeks went on, I was less and less able, because before that I had quite a healthy life for somebody who was over 80. I was well able to go to aerobic classes, well able to walk the prom, that sort of thing. But gradually, I was getting heavier, eating more goodies. And this set me up because it was controlled and it was professional.
Yeah.
And it was geared to keeping the pulse was checked every so often. There wasn't any danger whatever of my having another kind of catastrophic episode.
Yeah. And you live in the area?
I live on the main road forever since 1965.
Wow.
And up beyond where St. Francis's home is now was the country.
It was.
And O'Flaherty's, Matt O'Flaherty lived in the first house.
That's right.
He had an old Volkswagen.
Yeah.
And my husband, Eddie Fox, was kind of in the laboratory in the regional for years and years and years, big tall man. And he used to say to me, whatever you do, do not borrow the Volkswagen because no two wheels of it go in the same direction. But it was a necessary adjunct.
Yes.
And in fairness to Matt and the Deirdre, is still with us. The keys were always in the car down the lane.
So you could take it
as you wanted. You could master it.
Eddie, your husband
was in the regional tech ultimately. He lectured
me in 1980.
He got a stroke in 1980, which was catastrophic. Christmas. It left him totally paralyzed, without the right side, without speech, without half his field of vision. If you stood at his right shoulder, he couldn't see you.
My God bless him.
And it took him years to say Francis or Orchid or any of the things that were important to him, because he was mad keen, is a local historian, an amateur archaeologist. Mm. And he taken to it with the will. He did a night BA. Father Edwin Rabbit in the Franciscans started a night BA course in the late 60s, early 70s. So Eddie was one of the first to join. Yeah. And he came from a background of a kind of last class in the national school. Martin O'Kine was the Gael Gore, was his schoolmaster until he was interned in the Curragh during the war, because he was the rather anti-state, I think, in things.
It just shows how small it is, that it's Eddie and it's Newcastle and what Cree have done and for that, you.
Yes,
it's a magical story.
Well, yeah, it's and like that, it's changing now.
It is,
because I live now in an enclave of student residences with absentee landlords.
Yeah.
Different story. But the dog and myself are there so long that I'll hardly.
And Cree are here for you. I want to go back to Mark. Thank you, Dean Francis. Mark, if people want to get information on Cree, I know 544-310 is the number, I know it off the top of my head. But Cree is here for people.
Absolutely, Keith. We're here to support people all the time. We have a dedicated nurse helpline, which we've brought under the banner of our Cree Connects program. And as you said, the number is 544-310. So if anybody has any queries or concerns or would like more information or want to engage with Cree programs or indeed to volunteer or help out or anything, we'd love to hear from them.
544-310 again. Will you go back to the Neil Johnson award? That's a great accolade to get.
It's an extraordinary award, and I think it's well deserved and well earned. It's funny, I was talking to Neil about it yesterday, and the first thing he said was to credit the team, that it was a recognition of the team's work, which he always does. But to be fair, I think it's a well-earned recognition of his leadership over the last 30 years. I suppose the team has changed, but he's been a constant there, and he's had a huge amount of dedication and drive to continue the work of Cree.
And vision.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Without the vision, you have nothing.
Yeah, 100%.
And he's had it.
It's a well-deserved award, and I think a few of the comments I've seen on it since are that it's very well-earned, and it's the result of 30 years of really hard work.
Yeah, but myself and Ray Rooney, I remember the days that this was founded. That's my vintage. You just think of where it's come to, in that space.
It's interesting. I think, the mission of Cree and the focus has probably changed over the years from, in the early days, it would have been very much about the acute hospital services and the lack of services in the West and to try and remedy that.
Yeah.
But I think the common thread in all of Cree's work has been to look at, first of all, what's the unmet need? And to try and address that in the best way we can.
Super, Mark. Good luck with the cycle, keeping contact with us. That's Mark O'Donnell, who's Chief Operating Officer of Cree. Now, though, let's head towards the 11 o'clock news and death notices. A sincere thank you to Francis Fox for joining us as well today. And again, if you want to get further details on what we're talking about here in Cree, you can do so on 091-544-310. That's 091-544-310. The team outside in reception will love me for giving out that number. But please pick it up and ring them and talk to them from there. And good luck to all with the cycle.
Galway Tours, in association with Tesco. Find our award-winning Irish ranges in store and online at tesco.ie.